Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, what's going on, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys. Running a little late. We decided to come at you tonight. I'm about to get my man Keys on here in a minute. So I just wanted to say hello to everybody. Welcome to the show. Let me get my man Keys connected.
Let's go.
There he goes, my man Keys.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? We rocking.
Yeah, we rocking tonight. You know,
it's straight downpouring out here in Boston. So I was just at a friend's college graduation party and kind of killed my vibe. So I had to just make the commute home real quick and hop on the air. We're gonna talk some stuff.
That's what's up. Hey, this is a special Sunday night edition.
Yeah, nah, this is good. I like the Sunday night talks. You know, it's fitting for a Sunday. And this show is emergency. This show
not
is
insecurity. You feel me? So stop calling the cops on the
rip. Yeah. So, man, it was raining out here too, man. It rained real hard out here for about 30 to 45 minutes. It even started hailing a little bit. But the sun out right now, it's cool.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on because I mean I was in the next town over for that graduation party and it was pouring over there. But I just got back and I've been back like only like 10-15 minutes and I just heard the rain stop. So maybe they got lucky over there. I don't give a
fuck. Yeah. But yeah, man. Today was like the high was like 68 out here, and then tomorrow the high is like 85. Then the rest of the week is gonna be in the upper 90s. So it's gonna be blazing out here this week. But I ain't mad about it.
Hey, you got cut off. What'd you say?
I said, can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. I was saying it rained out here today too, but I ain't really mad because today is only like 68. Tomorrow the high supposed to be 85, and then the rest of the week it's supposed to be upper 90. So it's going to be blazing hot the rest of the week. So enjoy this little bit of cool weather, and then ready to get back into it next week.
Yeah, man. I just wanna jump right into this real quick because I had something that I've been meaning to ask you, and I saw this on the news yesterday and today. So when I first seen it yesterday, I was like, all right, like this probably there's a rumor. Like let's just really see how it pans out. And then I read another report reporting it again today. So I don't know, man. I think this is about to come to fruition. So there's a fight that I'm hearing is getting booked, and it's two of your top guys. And I don't know how you're gonna be torn trying to pick a winner for this fight because this is like your two boys.
All the peace. It's a lot of peace.
You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm waiting on you to give it to me.
All right, so. Yeah, I didn't know if maybe you was going to be like, oh, yeah, I've seen that. Nah, but anyways, because it's kind of still early. I don't think the news is really out there yet, but it's going to be because I'm pretty sure this is official. So, your boy Usman is about to fight your boy RDA. Just trying to get your boy Usman to fight your boy Dos Anjos. That's what I'm hearing. What you think about that, bro?
Actually, man, you know what? I'm really not mad about that because I think Usman, he needs to fight a top five guy to solidify himself as one of the top welterweights. And RDA coming off a disappointing performance against Colby Covington, you know, I think it's a good fight for both of them. I think. If Usman wins, he's probably one fight away from fighting for the belt. And I think if RDA wins, he's right back in the title mix. But You know, I like that both guys want to fight the best. I mean, that's something that me and you we've been yearning for, is for the top dudes to fight the top dudes. And, you know, it's kind of hard when, you know, guys get injured. Then, you know, the UFC has so many events where guys, you know, they can't pick guys against certain guys. So, actually, I like this fight, man. It's kind of early to us. Today actually says official. You know, I hold off on making a prediction. But, you know, I'm all about new blood, man. I've been about new blood all of 2018. So, you know, if I had to pick right now, I'll probably go with Usman just because I'm all about the new blood. So when you heard about the fight, what did you think?
So I mean, all I could think about was just your reaction to it, because I was like, man, this is his two top guys out there. I don't know what he's about to do when they have to get in there and square off. That's really all I could think. But I don't know, because I mean, Usman just beat Damian Maia. You know, he had a good win, so RDA lost to Covington. But at the same time, it's like, it don't really matter. I mean, they both have, I mean, if you know, they both have something to prove, because RDA didn't want to go on a, you know, on a losing streak. I mean, he came in and was dominating at welterweight, so I doubt that he wants to be in the losing column. And at the same time, Usman is just dying for that fight with Colby Covington. So I think that if he wins this fight, then the Covington fight will probably be Usman's next fight. And
so basically, what you're saying is, if Colby's going to lose to T-Wood, and then Usman beats RDA, then the UFC is going to finally make the Covington versus Usman fight. And I think, actually, I'm rolling your way because I think if RDA wins, I think what the UFC really wants is they want to see RDA versus T-Wood, champ versus former champ, even though he's coming off a disappointing performance. I think he earned his number one contendership. And I think he should have never been fighting for an interim belt anyway. So, yeah, man, I'm with you on this one, man. I really want Usman to win, and I want Covington to lose to Woodley, and I want them two to fight to finally get this grudge match thing going.
Yeah, I don't think Colby can escape that fight. It's creeping up on him, and he's trying. He's been trying, putting in some effort to escape it. But I think it's creeping up on him. He's gonna have to deal with that boogeyman,
hey,
you know, sooner or later. So
hey, so what about if Covington wins and Usman wins? Do you think Usman gets a shot at the belt, or do you think Woodley gets an immediate rematch?
Yeah, I don't know, because I think that if, like, because like you were saying before, like, you need to have a bad guy in any intriguing title fights. I mean, like, some title fights is just all competition, just, you know, like the top guy versus the champion. You know, it kind of has tension just based off of the skill level. But then, like, you know, the more intriguing title fights is when you build a story. And relating to what you were saying about being the bad guy, somebody's got to be the one to promote the fight, and it's usually the challenger. So I think based on what the UFC has seen between those two guys, knowing that, you know, it was on a big press day and so many of the press saw it, you know, that story is already brewing between Covington and Usman. So say, you know, like you're saying, if both them guys were to win, then I feel like Dana White would probably jump to make that title fight, you know, pretty quick. I mean, I know Woodley would probably want his rematch, but I think the UFC, it would be hard for them to not jump at that Covington-Usman title fight, because that's just such an intriguing story for the fans, and the UFC, we know they eat up those kind of stories. I mean, why do you think they're trying to do, you know, they're trying to have, you know, they're in contracts right now. They're trying to get contracts signed for Khabib and McGregor. You know, that fight is in the works as we speak. And why do you think they're trying to do that fight and they're not trying to, you know, book Khabib versus Kevin Lee or Khabib versus, you know, Barboza, somebody. Oh, no, he fought Barboza, but you know what I mean. One of these other guys, whoever else has been winning. I mean, Kevin Lee's been winning. I don't know who else is out there, but yeah, why do you think they're not trying to book that? Because, you know, Conor, you have a story for that. The UFC wants to build a title fight off of around a story that can, you know, be intrigue fans. That's kind of what it makes the fight that much more electrifying. So I would think they'd jump at the Covington and Usman fight, if anything.
I mean, I'm all for the Conor Khabib fight. I mean, it's one of the biggest fights out there, and it's a fight that, you know, people have been dying to see probably for like the last year, maybe 2 years. So, you know, I'm all about that fight. But at the same time, I want the UFC to come out and say that, you know, if Conor does get signed to that fight, that he's going to be fined maybe 20% of his purse. You know, something like that for that incident that he did in New York, man. I just think that it's a crying shame if they don't punish him and then he come and get in this big fight and he make all this money and then nothing happens, man. I'm all for the fight, but I think they need to come out and punish him in some kind of way and announce that he's going to forfeit 20% of his purse as a fine for what he did in Brooklyn or whatever. But I think this the Khabib and McGregor fight, if McGregor can stay on his feet, he's going to win the fight. If he can't stay on his feet, Khabib is going to smother him the whole fight. So takedown defense is going to be at an all-time high for Conor in this fight. And if I was to pick the fight right now, if I had to pick the fight right now, being that Conor hasn't fought in so long, I would just take Khabib just off of he's been more active. Actually, he really hasn't been that active, but he's been more active than Conor. So, I mean, but you know, man, go ahead. What's your speak the piece?
Well, okay, so I'm glad you just said that because Khabib has been slightly more active than Conor because besides him fighting Iaquinta for the Boo Boo belt that he holds, you know, the paperweight, the belt that he has, which he didn't even fight the champion. And not only did he not fight the champion, he didn't even fight a contender for the title to get that belt. So, first of all, Khabib's belt is trailer trash to me. That's completely bogus. And secondly is that the last time both of them fought was on the same card before the Iaquinta fight. The last time Khabib fought was also in 2016. At Madison Square Garden, he fought Michael Johnson on the same card McGregor fought Eddie Alvarez when he won the lightweight, a real lightweight title when he fought the champion. Because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to beat the champion to get the belt, not fight, you know, random guys like boxing. That's like boxing.
I think you're forgetting the Barboza fight, though. You're forgetting that Khabib fought Barboza, too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe because that fight was so forgettable. So, you know.
That was whatever to me. That's probably why I forgot.
Yeah.
But even Barboza was more of a contender than Iaquinta was, and he didn't fight Barboza for the belt.
You got to look at it like this, too, though. But you got to look at it like this, too, though, Keys. The guy he was supposed to fight for the interim belt ended up getting – well, he supposed to be fighting my man, Ferguson. Ferguson got hurt. And then he was going to fight Holloway, and then Holloway couldn't make weight. So then they put Iaquinta in there, who wasn't even supposed to have been in the fight. So, you know, that just goes to show you that fight for that interim belt was bogus anyway. And that they just should have just had him fight somebody, and then when Ferguson got right, had him fight Ferguson, But now it kind of works out for the UFC, man. They finally get Conor versus Khabib, and they probably going to get it in Russia. So, you know, man, hey, I'm all for the big fight, but I want him to be fine, though, and I want the fine to be announced. I want it to be public and to the public's knowledge how much he's being fined so that, you know, people know that he's being punished.
Yeah, well, that's a good I can't think of the best word to describe that, but that, yeah, that's a good way to if he gives up 20% of his purse, I mean, for him, that's going to be probably between, you know, at least, you know, $1 million. Like, he probably between $1 and $2 million is probably 20% of his purse. So that's a pretty good. You know, punishment. That's a pretty, you know, hefty punishment. Not saying that it's overkill. It's just that it's sufficient, because for him to give up 20% of his purse, I mean, versus somebody else who 20% of their purse. I mean, if you make $500,000 and you end up making $400,000 instead of $500,000, I mean, then you go from Conor, who just, you know, made $100 million to fight Mayweather. Then now you're taking, now then you're telling him come out here and, you know, fight Khabib for, you know, $10 million, and then you're saying, but wait, you acted up, so now you're going to make $8 million, so you're going to give us 20%, you're going to make $8 million, so that'll hit him hard, because he's already taken, you know, a pay cut to come back, and then he's taken another pay cut because of his actions.
Well, you know, man, I just think that he shouldn't be able to get away with that, man. And plus, it sends a message to the other fighters that your actions will be dealt with accordingly, and the UFC, and they'll get everybody back in line, you know, so people won't be acting out at the weigh-ins, you know, doing all types of crazy stuff no more. The UFC needs to start finding these guys, man. I mean, I get it that, you know, you got to have hype leading up to a fight. You got to have the good guy, the bad guy thing. But at the same time, they're professionals, man. Everything should be about professionalism. But actually, I wanted to ask you, since we're talking about MMA tonight, you know, I wanted to ask you about something that you texted me earlier this week. Bobby Knuckles versus Gastelum. How you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's sad.
Don't sound
because...
too excited.
Yeah, nah, it's sad because the UFC 225 was a flop of an event, and I'm just mind blown that was a flop, because it was such a, I mean, like there were certain parts of the card that if you weren't into that kind of, like everyone, there was a fight for everybody on the card, so like you didn't have to like every fight, but somebody was going to have at least one fight that they were really excited for, which I feel like is like the groundwork of any great UFC card, is like having one fight, you know, all different kind of style fights, you know, with different names that people would like, and that card, you know, that Chicago, they had a lot of star power. I mean, they had Holly Holm, they had CM Punk fighting, you know, what's his name, who cares, then they had, you know, Whitaker, Romero too, you know, after they had a crazy first fight, second fight, and I can't think who else was on there. Claudia's on there, you know. That was good.
Man, they had Benavidez and Pettis. They had, Clay Guida, and they had Clay Guida was on that card. That card was nice, man. They had our boy Derek Blades, Blades or Overeem.
Yeah, Curtis. Curtis Blades fought Overeem.
And then, you know what, though? I think a lot of people get turned off when fighters don't make weight, man. I think a lot of people get turned off when the main event becomes not such a main event. But that card was a good card, though.
Yeah, that was a really good card. And I think that's true. I mean, I know one thing is that, like, I didn't even want to watch the main event. Like, when I realized, and you could call me a bad sport, and that's fine. Like, I'll eat that. I mean, because I just, when you tell me that, like, I'm going to watch a title fight, I want to watch a title fight, number one. And number two is that this is the UFC. When is the last time when there was a main event in the UFC that was not a title fight? Like, when's the last time that there was a card where there wasn't two title fights? Like, every UFC card has two title fights. Never mind that. When has there been a non-title fight as the main event? Like, that, I don't blame people. And the UFC, you know, I understand that things happen, but, like, they should understand when you, you know, lose out on probably, like, you know, five, six figures, probably six figures worth of pay-per-view buys, because it's a big deal for people. They want to see the title fight. They don't want to wait, especially if people were just ordering it to see, you know, if they just wanted to see Whitaker defend his belt. They don't want to see him have a non-title fight. So they will very well not order the pay-per-view just off the strength that, you know, somebody didn't make weight and now it's not for the belt. I could understand people not ordering it just for that. So I think you hit the nail on the head. I can't see why else. I mean, you had CM Punk, he's from Chicago, and it was a Chicago card. I mean, you would think that the UFC thought that was going to be, you know, huge for the people out there. You would think that, you know, CM Punk's fans, his hometown fans that watch him in wrestling, would have ordered the pay-per-view just to see him fight, especially that he was like the third to last, you know, third or fourth, you know, from the top on the main card. So you would think that, you know, his fan base would have carried over. I'm sure they, you know, a lot of people thought that would have happened. Clearly it didn't happen because, the projection, they're saying that they did between like 150 and maybe 250,000 pay-per-view buys. And that, I mean, for that card, that's not a good number. That's really weak. I thought that that would have did a lot better.
Actually, man, I'm kind of shocked that it didn't do better because, you know, man, the fight had something for everybody. I mean, we had Megan Anderson making her UFC debut. We had Benavidez coming back. You know, we had, you know, Holly Holm coming back after her Cyborg fight. We had Romero and, you know, Bobby Knuckles too. It's you know, UFC fans are kind of they kind of fickle. You know what I mean? They kind of, we can be sometimes, especially when we got to pay our money. But even though there wasn't a title fight on that card, the card was still awesome. I mean, it was some good fights. It was finishes. You know, okay, I'm just kind of shocked in the numbers, but at the same time, sometimes you got to chalk it up to the UFC having too many events, man. You know, a lot of people don't want to keep buying a pay-per-view every month. You know what I'm saying? You know, like for me, I'll probably buy the pay-per-view that's coming up, the next one, with Stipe and DC. I'll probably buy that. But other than that, man, you know, I only buy maybe three or four pay-per-views a year. You know, normally I just go out to a bar and check them out. But I just don't get why the numbers were so low for that card. And if you think the numbers are low for that card, I know that the numbers for that fight night they had yesterday morning had to be bad because I forgot they weren't even having a fight yesterday morning.
Yeah.
So, and my boy was fighting. You know, I love Donald Cerrone. So, and then they didn't even do a replay. I was like, yo. So
that's crazy.
But I think the reason they didn't do a replay is because Fox and FS1, you know, they got the World Cup, so it might have been hard to squeeze in a time and a slot to do, you know, a replay. But man, I was like, yo, I forgot they even had a card on yesterday morning. So it is what it is. I mean, the UFC, they still got to figure it out. They still got to figure a way to grow the product. But I'm shocked by the numbers, man. That 225 wasn't that good.
Man, they should start doing a thing where it's like, I feel like if you're gonna fight for a UFC title, I think that they should make the like there should be a different kind of protocol for title contenders and the champion. Like a couple days, like leading up to the event, like to make sure that you're going to make weight. Like they should be more strict on these guys. It shouldn't be like, oh, you can have up until like the last 3 hours before weigh-ins to make official weight. That's giving these guys too much leeway, and you're allowing them to rely on, you know, it's like when you're running late for work and you're literally giving yourself like a 10-minute time frame to either be late to work or not. It's like if you gave yourself a half an hour time frame to either be late or not, which is more likely to you to not be late? Probably the half hour.
And but then you're telling people how to train, though, man. And, you know, I don't think fighters will take too kindly to the UFC telling them how to train. I mean, I understand your point that you don't want pay-per-views or big-time fights to get, you know, canceled, or you got to have linesmen to step in, or, you know, fighting in a catch weight. You know, I understand that part because as a fan, you do feel cheated. So I get it. But I don't think the fighters would really like – I don't think they would like that too much, because then you're affecting the way they train. But if it's a guy that has a history of not making weight, then I'm all for the UFC stepping in, monitoring what they doing, you know where they at as far as weight, you know. I'm all for that. But guys that traditionally make weight, let them do their thing.
Yeah. It's, I was actually just looking at this, too. I just figured look it up just because I was mentioning the pay-per-view numbers, and I just happened to look. You know, the card they had out here in Boston, they said did around 350.
Okay.
Which, this is just like, you know, one report that I'm just reading, but they were saying that I guess the UFC 219 was like a pretty big turnout, but that UFC 220 mm-hmm. was either a slight, they said it was either a slight decrease from the pay-per-view buys of the 219, which was the Cyborg and Holly Holm fight. It was either a slight decrease or a relatively the same. So I guess, and they were saying that was, you know, they were pairing that with, you know, the numbers like, you know, UFC 217 when GSP came back. They said that did like over 800,000 pay-per-view buys, which is like crazy. Well, they had three title fights. Like that card was that card. But they were pairing a lot of those together, and Boston happened to jump in the mix. I mean, because they had two.
But the thing is, though,
guys made weight.
But GSP is always a big draw, though. GSP always is box office. It don't even matter who he's fighting, man. He could be fighting me or you, and it's gonna be a big draw, because that guy just draws. He could come back once every 5 years, and you could best believe that his pay-per-view is going to be up there with it's going to be up there in numbers. He just draws, man.
Yeah, that's true. It really doesn't matter who he fights. GSP, for some reason, and which is interesting, because his fighting style really isn't that interesting.
Action-packed.
I mean, like, yeah, he's not really that. I want to tune in and watch him when he gets out there. But, I understand, like, if people aren't really that locked in on his style. But, I mean, then again, like, his personality and his legacy, everything like that, I mean, it is kind of amazing. I mean, he's done a lot. I hope GSP does come back and fight. You know, speaking of which, though, this actually brings me up on a good topic. You know, Kevin Lee is calling for a GSP fight at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, man.
Well, your boy, hey, my boy Kevin Lee wants to fight GSP at 165 pounds. He wants to do a catchweight.
How about it ain't going to happen?
Why, you don't think
Kevin Lee isn't
can...
a name. It ain't what he can and can't do. He's not a name, man. I mean, what does GSP gain by beating Kevin Lee? You know what everybody going to say? He's supposed to beat him. So, I'm not feeling that, man. I think if they're going to do a fight at MSG and GSP is going to fight, I'd rather see him fight Tyron Woodley for Tyron Woodley's belt, his true weight class. I really don't want to see him fight Nate Diaz because Nate fights like his brother Nick, and we saw what GSP did to Nick, so I'm really not feeling that. If he do come back, I wouldn't mind him fighting Yoel Romero or Jacare. No, not Jacare, because Jacare kind of boring. I wouldn't mind him coming back and fighting Yoel Romero, maybe, like I said, Tyron Woodley, maybe Robbie Lawler. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. But, man, Kevin Lee, nah, bro, his name ain't big enough. It don't have nothing to do with his skills or anything. I mean, he can talk a good fight, but I just don't – his name ain't big enough to be in there with GSP. And if he was to fight Kevin Lee, it wouldn't be the main event. It would probably be like the co-main event. Or something like that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, if they're going to do MSG, you know they're going to have minimum of two title fights, if not three, like last year. I mean, that would probably end up being, like, the fourth card from the top. I mean, they would never want to put GSP, like, that low on the card. They want to have GSP fight for a title. They don't even want to have him in a non-title fight. I don't see why they would want that at this point.
Yeah, I just don't see Kevin Lee name being big enough to warrant a main event for GSP. Maybe he fights Kevin Lee just to shut him up or make Kevin Lee show some respect. But outside of that, I just don't see that being a fight. I mean, I just don't see it being a fight.
Hey, 1 second. We have a caller on the line. I want to jump them into the call real quick. See what's on their mind tonight.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, brother?
Robbie from Revere. How are we doing?
We good.
What's going on tonight? Good. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I tried. I didn't know I was muted at first, so I was trying to join the conversation, but
yeah,
I was listening to the UFC talk.
Yeah, because we get into the UFC pretty intensely over here. I didn't know.
So what's on your mind, Carl? All
right, guys. So if you guys don't know, I'm Kevin's cousin. He's been asking me to come on the show for a while. I've been slacking on it, but I'm here tonight, and I've had something that's been weighing on my mind lately, and I really it's been just pressing me, and I really want to see what you guys have to say about it.
Let's hear it.
So my question is, how do you feel about pineapple on pizza? I'm dead serious.
Okay,
how
man.
Do you feel about it?
I'm gonna be honest.
I hear different answers from everybody.
I'm gonna be honest, bro. Now I spent 4 years in Japan, and then I went to Hawaii for they sent me there for like a class or something. And everywhere you went, they gave you pineapples. You know, you go into McDonald's, they give you pineapples with your Happy Meal, you know. But I'm not a fan of pineapples on pizza, man. I'm just not with it. When I eat my pizza, give me meat, extra sauce, and green peppers, and I'm good. I don't want pineapples on my pizza, bro. I can't do it.
Yeah,
I can't do it, man.
I've heard it from a lot of people. I've heard it all. I've heard both sides of the coin. because people like be at each other's throats. They're like, no, what the hell? It's gross. Other people are like, are you excited? It's awesome.
Yeah, now look,
I don't know. I just feel it's not a sin to put it on pizza.
I mean, but I'm a fair guy though. So you know, if me, you know, if we at the crib and we kicking it, and you know, we decide to order a pizza, you get half the pizza your way, I get half the pizza my way. I'm just saying, I'm a fair guy.
But
I don't want pineapples on my side of the pizza. You can have it any which way you want on your side. Hey, Keys, where you at on the pineapple on pizza thing, bro? All
right, so I'm going to cue into the pineapple debate right quick. All right, so check me out. So pretty much I noticed that I'm not trying to be like the sexist thing. I'm just saying that by observation, I noticed that it's a lot of females that love pineapple on pizza. And what I've noticed, every time I see people eating pineapples on their pizza, it's a female every time. So I ain't calling you a female. You the one. You with all the females eating the pineapple on pizza. So you killing them. You killing it. But I think I tried it like once, like when I was younger, and like I didn't really understand it. Cause I forget if it had, was there a sauce with it? Like I can't remember the texture of it or what I thought of it. I didn't really go forward with it. I think I might have tried it real quick and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not really too big on this right now. And I kind of just went back to the basic, you know, the cheese or the pepperoni, whatever else was on the table. So yeah, it didn't really get too far with me. But I mean, I don't discriminate. There's a lot of things like for me because. There's a lot of foods. Like, for example, one of my old schools, a lot of kids used to eat, they used to put ketchup, you know, ketchup and eggs. Like, a lot of, I've met a lot of people who put, you know, ketchup on their eggs, and they swear by that. And I have
That's
never
nasty
even had
too.
The, yeah, see, I've never even had the pride to even try it. Like, at least the pineapple on pizza, I, like respectful enough, and I was like, "Yo, I'm actually try to rock out with you guys, and I'm gonna actually eat a slice, and I'm gonna give it the time of day." But see, like that ketchup and eggs thing, like I just could never stomach it. I can't figure out how ketchup like can go with the eggs, like with the texture of the eggs, and then the like the softness and just the flavor of the ketchup. I don't see how that equates. Have you ever eaten ketchup with your eggs?
Well, I don't like ketchup, so that'd be a no.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a.
That was simple.
I can't say it's a common thing for me to do.
Yeah, man.
No, not really my.
But
my cup
you know,
of tea.
Man. But look, man. Back to the pineapples and pizza thing. I get it, bro. Sometimes you know if you had a party at the house and you got the ladies over there, of course you're gonna order what the ladies want to eat. You know what I'm saying? You want to keep the party going. So you might order,
naturally,
you know, a couple pieces, you know, and you throw the pineapple. And then for the fellas, you know, you get your all-meat pizza, and, you know, you keep the party rolling. And then, for the backdrop, you play the Rick Ross songs, Dice Pineapples, and the party gets flowing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You got to set the mood, dog. So, but, you know, me personally, no, I'm not with it, man. I'm not with it, but, you know, to each his own. Everybody's taste buds are different, but I can't do it.
Yeah, bro, I get it.
Yeah,
so what else
I...
on your mind tonight, man, since you're on the phone? What else on your mind?
Oh, good question. We got some time still.
Yo, I have a question for you.
What's up?
Have you seen the Childish Gambino This Is America music video?
Yeah, I have.
How you feel about that?
Oh, man, that's
Cause we I've were
heard
talking
that on the radio,
that.
Too. I feel like it's not something you can it's not just something you can listen to. It's the video is kind of the whole thing behind that.
Yeah, so
yeah, I think there's a lot that, you know, more than meets the eye. They have a lot of, like, imagery. In that video, I noticed if you look in the background, you can see all kinds of different things. And with the lyrics, if you look it up on, I don't know, like Rap Genius, it has a lot more like layers to it. Like I remember seeing in the video, I knew going into it to look around and see what's going on. So I'm like, okay. And everyone's dancing in the foreground, but in the background you see like people getting chased by police. I saw like the four horsemen, like of the apocalypse, like that kind of thing.
That was messed
and
up.
Yeah, that was like, I'm like, goddamn, like, Donald Glover's got some shit up his sleeve.
I thought this was The Legend of Zelda when I seen that.
Yeah.
I thought this was like the Ocarina of Time. That was like Ganondorf in the background, like. We was about to rain hell.
They were wilding out there.
Childish Gambino is a smart
guy. Yeah, well thought out. He's very smart.
He definitely, and somebody was saying this the other day, like, it ain't even really, I mean, like, the video is one thing, but just, like, look at everything that he does is just kind of wild. Like, I mean, he's in that show, which is, like, really popping off. I mean, he's in a couple of movies. He's on Saturday Night Live. He does music. I thought I heard that he does comedy too. I've never seen his comedy, if so, but I can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine. I mean, he has the personality for it, so I'm sure he does his thing.
Yeah, he's really doing a good job.
He's
dipping into everything.
He goes out with all of his talent. He doesn't just try to box himself in and do one thing. I respect that.
Yeah, I said that the other day. Because, you know, I said, for somebody that's in his position, you know, for him to take a chance like that or putting a video out like that, you know, man, he could have hurt himself, you know, within show business. Because, you know, this day and age, you know, and one misstep, and, you know, they looking at, well, you know, man, do we really want to take a chance with this guy? Do we really want to do this, do that? Because right now he hot, man. You know, he in a solo movie. You know, they say he did a good job in the Han Solo movie. Then he got his show in Atlanta, which is definitely good. It's popping. You know, if you haven't seen it, I advise you to check it out. Then, you know, he got a stand-up on Netflix. So, you know, the guy's popping right now. So for him to put something out like that, you know, man, I commend him. I give him – He took a step, man. You know, he took a huge step. You know, one that probably could have hurt his career, but he stuck with artistic views, and like my man Key said in our last show, where the show that we talked about it, is he basically his idea to the video was start looking at everything that's right in front of your face. Look at the stuff that's happening behind the scenes. You know, it was a great concept, man, because when I first looked at it, I was just looking at him and, you know, and some of the main stuff that was going on. So, yeah, man, it's a great video, man. But to me, it's a good video, but I'm Not a Racist is a great video.
Oh, the one by Jordan Lucas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold up. Hold up 1 second. We got another caller on the line right now. I'm going to jump into the call right quick. See what he's talking about. He or she. Hello?
Hi, I'm just listening.
You got anything on your mind?
No, I'll just listen.
All right.
Oh, that's fine. We appreciate the love, though. Thanks for calling in and checking us out.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, have we said anything that you disagree with, or is something that you agree with since you've been on? Okay, she just listened. We appreciate the call, though.
Yeah, so I mean,
yo, man,
you feel like you've been getting a lot
ahead,
more listeners lately? Because I've had conversations like Kevin's mentioned. You guys have had the show for a while. I'm not sure how long, but to my understanding, you guys had more like a structure. Like, okay, today we're gonna talk about XYZ, but lately it's been more like unstructured, like you talk about whatever is on your mind. And I feel like that's gotten you a lot more viewership. Is that accurate, you think?
Actually,
or is it like more enjoyable for you guys?
Actually, I think it's more fun to do it without a lot of structure. But at the same time, we still have to respect the time limit. I think when we was doing the structure, we would tend to over-talk on subjects and still ignore the time. Whereas now that we are flowing from the top with no structure, with no rundown, we tend to flow a little better. You know, our show is a little bit more off the cuff and not, let me say, scripted. But at certain times that we do have to have a script. I mean, just in case, like, it's a big UFC event and, you know, we want to get into certain things or there's something that's going on and we still want to talk about different things, then we got a certain amount of time to certain topics. But, you know, this has been fun, man. I think we've been doing this about 3 weeks. Whereas we just call, he'll text me or I'll text him and be like, yo, let's jump on. We jump on, we talk. You know, like we always say, we don't debate, man. We conversate. And that's been the nature of our show.
Yeah, nah, just the freestyle structure is a lot more fun, I think, for both of us and for the listeners. And also, I think before is like, what we were doing before is, you know, when we try to, like, there was more of a command about, I believe we had, like, a much more of a command of, like, the subject matter that we were talking about. And I think we kind of came off, like, maybe we were a little bit more on the firm side, like, about, okay, because we would brand our show so much in a certain way that I think it gave the look of our show, like, okay, they're going to be talking about this, like, so let me not call up because I don't know about that. So I don't really know how to proceed. I'm going to call up and not know, like, what to go on because I don't know. I have no knowledge about this. Like, if I were to look at, you know, somebody else's show and they, you know, they strongly brand themselves about, like, all about, like, baseball or they're all about, like, I don't know, like, politics or something like that. Like, I've seen a couple shows on here that, you can tell it's all about politics. They got like the red and blue, like, you know, and red and blue and like the logo and stuff like that. You know, Republican and Democrat. And it's like, and no offense to them. When I see that, I mean, like, you would think, but it's just like, what I believe is that when people see that strong branding like that, they kind of, they might have the tendency to get turned off because you're coming off strongly as like, this is what I'm going to be talking about. So it doesn't present you as a more universal brand where, like, okay, you can just call up and kick it and just talk about, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And also,
I think if you go back and listen to some of our past shows where, like, we talked about I'm Not a Racist video, the show that we did on our school shootings, the show that we talked about Kanye and his free thinking, we talked about Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling and the president calling, you know, telling people, calling players SOBs. I mean, those shows, you know, even though we knew what we was talking about, we didn't know what the other person was going to say. So it's still, we never know what the other person is going to say, but those shows were shows that we basically, Keys probably text me or I text him, and I was like, hey, man, I think we need to talk about this. And we probably jumped on that same day, and we just let it come through the air, and we just gave people our opinion, man. And not being scripted, it actually makes the show a little bit more organic to me. Because you know, we're not in a state of mind that, you know, I got to defend my point, or I got to be ready to combat his point, you know, or, you know, whatever. You know, we just say what's on our mind. You know, walk it like we talk it.
Yeah, man, I think that's important. I think people appreciate that, and it shows in the viewership. I think that it works well. You guys just text each other, like, because if you feel like you need to talk about something, you can just feed off that energy the same day. And like you said, you never know what people are going to say. So it creates like a, okay, what are they going to say? And more of thinking about like speaking to respond instead of speaking just to have a reply ready. Because that kind of follows the flow of like natural conversation, and I think you get more genuine answers, what people wouldn't otherwise want to say. If you kind of not really trigger
But you know what our funniest shows are? Our funniest shows are whenever we talk about music. Those are our funniest shows, and they have like the most energy and passion when we're talking about our top five artists. You know, stuff like that. Those shows are full of passion, and they are so much fun because, you know, my age, I'm 47, and, you know, Keys, he's way younger than me. So, you know, we got that generational gap, and it's always cool to hear his side, and then, you know, he hear my side, and then, you know, we just keep it flowing. So, you know, like I always say about him is, you know, he opened my eyes to the way young people think. And then, you know, I always like to share some of my wisdom upon him. Because, you know, I done lived, seen some things. And, you know, he's still, I got a son older than him. So.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, man, our show was great, man. You know, we appreciate you calling in. You know, we appreciate the support. And, I push it out on Twitter after we're done. So, you know, we get feedback on our show. It's been cool the last couple of weeks to have people call in or participate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure, especially when, you know, guys be calling up or whoever that have other shows, and they can let us know when their show is on, because it's good to be able to network with people that we might not be aware of.
Yeah, you get that kind of community. People kind of mingle. They have their own little special thing they talk about.
Yeah, we had a guy call and talk about hockey.
Oh, yeah?
You know, yeah, Keys don't know nothing about hockey, so, you know, I kind of followed hockey a little bit. And Keys was like, man, I couldn't believe you knew about hockey.
Yeah, I had to take a step back. That happened. I don't know a damn thing about hockey.
Yeah, man, I'm not a big hockey guy either. I'm a Bruins fan.
I'm not a hockey guy either, man. I follow it when the playoffs start. But outside of that, I'm really not a hockey guy.
Those are some of the best matches. Everyone's like firing on all cylinders. Makes you want to watch it. Kind of like the World Cup,
man.
I'm tuning in.
Yeah, the World Cup. Maybe my boy Germany got off the slide yesterday. So we still got a shot. We still in there, baby.
Hey, yo. Germany, he said.
Oh,
yeah, I'm rolling with Germany, man. I mean, it's hard to win it two times in a row. But, hey, I'm rolling with Germany, man. They just need to win this next match, and they on to the next they on to the knockout round. So,
damn. Yeah, it's like
look,
everybody.
Man, we
work.
Got 5 minutes left, man. So Keys, we got 5 minutes left, man. So tell the people what's on your mind, baby.
Yeah. I mean, the craziest thing is that, you know. Like I was gonna say, episode number 40 was so dope because like 40, at least in my experience in my life, 40 always is always like attached to, you know, some of the most important things or important places that I've traveled to, like addresses and you know, numbers associated with somebody's name or Not really like something on a license plate. It's mostly addresses. 40 is usually in some of the most important or closest, you know, addresses closest to my heart. So, I mean, episode number 40, I was trying to think about how I could, you know, associate that, because we usually try to, you know, shout out, you know, whatever the number corresponds to, like a, you know, athlete or something like that. But that's what I was originally going to kick it off with, but then I completely forgot to, so I just had to throw that in there at the end to say episode number 40. I still don't know what it's dedicated to, but it's still important because 40 is you know, tied into something special to me in a lot of areas of my life. So 40 is always dope, and that means that that means something. I haven't figured out what it is yet, but it means something. We're gonna get to it.
Oh man. Well, you know, man, I'm gonna say episode 40, man. I'm gonna say Gale Sayers wore number 40, so shout out to Gale Sayers. And then I'm gonna get a little ghetto right now with 40. You know, when I was a kid, man, you know, me and my two cousins, man, Troy and Twain, shout out to Troy and Twain back in Portsmouth. You know, man, we was I was a senior in high school, Troy was a junior, and Twain was a sophomore. And I was working at McDonald's. My other two cousins, they didn't work. So every other Friday, man, we would go get, okay, FCC and DA and all that. Don't hold this against me. I was young. You know, we would go get us some weed, and we would go get a 40-ounce, man, and we would sit on the bleachers, and we would just talk about, you know, what we going to do when we grow up, you know, how our week was, you know, regular teenage stuff. But it was always over a blunt and a 40, man. And 40 ounces back then, you know, I drink Mickey's. I drink St. Ives. I used to drink Private Stock. You know, I used to drink a couple OEs. But, you know, man, 40 ounces got me through them times, man, growing up with my two cousins. And, my one cousin, he's a pharmacist. My other cousin, he's a chef, and me, I did 20-plus years in the Air Force. So, you know, them 40 ounces help us through them tough times and help us see our path. So, shout out to 40 ounces and Gav Sayers.
For real.
Yeah. So, we're about to sign off for the night. But
yeah,
go ahead, Keith.
That means next show, bring a 40-ounce with you when you're in the listener's queue. If you're not going to talk, start chugging down that 40-ounce, and then we'll try to, you know, do, like, some telepathic stuff, and I'll just sense it, and I'll jump you into the call when you're done chugging, and then you'll be going off. So that's how we're going to rock.
Once I get wavy.
Well, we can't do a 40-ounce show the next show, because the next show will be 41. And they'll make 41
ounces.
So,
no, I already figured that out. If you're going to 41, we're going to do, you're going to have a 40 ounce, and then you're going to take a shot of Kettle One.
Oh,
hey.
Man.
I like
okay.
it.
Hey, all right. I'm down for that. I'm down for that. You let me know what the next show is. I get me a 40. You get you a 40. I got a bar upstairs. I got some Ciroc on the thing. We take a shot at the beginning of the show, and throughout the show, we hit all 40. I'm with it.
Yeah, number 41, dedicated to the 41.
Yeah.
If you don't know,
go ahead. If
you don't know what we're saying, then we know what we're saying. We're just trying to figure out what you're saying. So call up and start saying it so we can know what you're saying. We appreciate everybody calling up and watch out for everything. And say a prayer and stay positive. We appreciate everybody. Have a good night. Thank you for everybody who called in. Much love. We over and out, Lean Keys. Till next time.
Hey,